You're listening to Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG, and we're online also at kpcg.fm. Live link is at the trumpet.com as well. Thanks for joining us there. And the TuneIn app, too. Don't forget about that. That's a nice place to listen, too. You can take that with you on the road. This is Trumpet Radio Live. Dwight Falk, Abraham Blondeau with you here today. And it's the Wednesday edition of Trumpet Radio Live. A lot to talk about today. We have some exciting features. we've got a fun one to start with. In response to Hillary Clinton, she became the presumptive Democratic nominee for president last evening, according to ABC News. Although Bernie Sanders is still holding out hope, and the political cycle is, you know, going on, and everyone's interested in that. I was at the store last night, and I tweeted about this. So if you follow us at KPCGFM, you can go there and check out this picture that I have. I found a pack of they're like baseball cards, but they're political cards. I've never seen anything like this. You can see the picture online at the Twitter at KPCGFM. It is called Decision 2016. It says you can collect all 110 cards. How can they have 110 people? Like, who do they have in here? Six cards per pack. It says politics is the new sports. Political trading cards. 100% made in America. So I had to get him. It was like a dollar and a half. I thought, well, right. I've got to see what this is. They were right next to the baseball cards. My son likes baseball cards, so that's why I saw them. And on the front, it has a picture of Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders, Donald Trump. He's in the middle. And then Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio. So we're going to open them up, see who's in there. Before we do that, I want to get the Trump rookie card. This is his first year, right? Or this is kind of a long shot, but a Jesse Ventura card. Remember, he was the governor of Minnesota, and he said he might run as an independent. So right. Those are the two I'm hoping for. Who are you hoping for?
It'll probably be Jesse Ventura's wrestling card in the package. well, I'm hoping for the Newt Gingrich gold card, Hall of Famer card, for Republican Hall of Fame. And then also looking for the Wayne Gretzky Platinum. And then
Wayne Gretzky won't be in this one, unless he's running for office that I'm not aware of.
That's true. And then I want the Bernie Sanders Team of the Week, because he's coming on strong. So I think he is the hot hand.
Bernie Sanders. Yeah. Okay. Here we go. I'm going to open this up. See if I can open it, actually. Sometimes these packs are hard to open. I should have pre-cut it.
It's probably glue from China.
I want it to be authentic. Okay, here we go. Let's see who we've got. Our first card is John McAfee. So that one is creator of first commercial computer antivirus program. I don't even know why he would be in there. He's a libertarian. So that one I'm disappointed in.
Yes, libertarian, the third party.
this one is actually not a bad one that we just got. This is Al Franken, the next one. You remember Al Franken?
Yes.
He was on Saturday Night Live, and now he's a U.S. senator from Minnesota. We got Al Franken. That's not bad.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wonder if it tells a joke if you...
I don't know. This next one is... This is Carly Florina. So this is kind of a special one. It's got like her fake autograph on there,
right.
And it's a candidate portrait, so right. hang on to that one, because she might be involved.
Yes, that's that was Cruz's vice president,
yeah,
even though he wasn't actually nominated.
Okay, so now we've got the next one is John McCain. We got a John McCain card. He's an influencer, of course, from Arizona. That's not bad. Hey, look at this one. This one's actually pretty good. We got an old Ronald Reagan card as an influencer.
There we go. Yeah.
Yeah. This actually ties into the Trumpet Daily Show, because it talked about Ronald Reagan today a little bit.
Yeah, that's like the power card.
This is a good card. I'm glad we got this one. Okay, this makes more sense, because I was thinking, how could you have 110 cards? But if you're going to go back into the history of... Okay. Yeah. Well, this one's a good one. I'm going to hang on to this one. And the last one is Katie O'Malley. It's the spouses. There's a spouses card. So she's the spouse of... Martin O'Malley, married since 1990. They have four children, according to the stats on the back. A Baltimore City District Judge and former First Lady of Maryland. So there you go.
Yeah.
They actually look kind of nice. I wonder if they'll, we got to hang on to them, see if they have value years from now. years ago, they used to have the political buttons.
Right.
And sometimes people have collections of those, because like when Dwight Eisenhower ran for president, the big thing was I like Ike.
Right.
And there was those buttons and all of that, so... Yeah, this is just some memorabilia. But yeah, if you're interested, you can get these, I guess. Decision 2016, United States of America. Politics is the new sports. Six cards. And we got a President Reagan, so I'm happy about that.
Yeah. If I do the power rankings of this pack, I'd put Reagan number one, McCain, Fiona.
Oh, right, yeah.
I forget how to say her last name.
Yeah, Farina, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And then I put Katie O'Malley.
Al Franken at the end.
Yeah, and then I put, John McPhee, he wouldn't even put him on the list because I've never heard of him.
Interesting. So, yeah, I thought that was kind of fun to look at those. And I was surprised to see him out there. I guess they'll make cards of just about anything these days. So, anyway, we've got those, and maybe we'll tweet a picture of some of the highlights later for people if they're interested in looking at those. We can start up a thing. We start trading these.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. It'd be really interesting to see how it goes. A couple other headlines to get to today, and talk about the Key of David program, the Trumpet Daily Radio Show as well, and also talk about this day in history. And Grant Turgeon will be stopping by. He's got an interesting write-up from thenewamerican.com on how a politician is calling the Declaration of Independence's words a lie. So that's kind of been controversial lately. We'll talk about that coming up here in a little bit as well. So we're kind of keeping with like the trading card theme. There's a story. This one's kind of just interesting. Sometimes people collect coins, and that's pretty popular as well. Well, there's this quarter that's selling. It's a 1970s quarter, and it's selling for thousands of dollars on eBay. And I thought you'd find this interesting in particular, Abraham, because you're from Canada, of course. It says an eBay sale of a 1970 U.S. quarter may at first glance appear routine, but a closer look reveals what its seller calls, quote, one of the most fascinating and intriguing proof mint errors ever discovered. And he's got a sky-high price to match. So he's trying to sell this thing for, I think it was $35,000. So you have to really like this quarter, I guess.
Yes.
Well, what happened here is it's a 46-year-old U.S. coin. It was actually formed over a 1941 Canadian quarter.
Huh.
So it's just like this strange error that they made, and I guess there's a few of them out there. And it's really hard to see. I guess if you look on the back of it, there's a faint upside-down 1941 mark and that you can kind of see through the other one. So what they did is they made a U.S. quarter over the top of a Canadian quarter. I don't know how you feel about that, Abraham. Is that offensive to you?
Well, this is kind of a metaphor for America's relationship with Canada and everything.
Sort of, yeah.
Where America blankets everything Canada does, and we're forgotten to the past. But I didn't know they had that practice. This is interesting.
It's pretty rare. There's obviously not too many of them. That's why this guy's trying to sell it for such a high price, but I've never heard of that. I've never heard of making a coin over the top of another one, especially one that's from another country.
Right.
That seems a little bizarre. I don't know if they were just low on metal or, you know, the metal they were using and they just thought it'd be easier to rewrap it or something. But
or the guy who made it got ripped off at the laundromat with the Canadian quarters in the machine sometimes.
That's an interesting thing. If you put it into a vending machine, would it recognize it or would it have a problem with it? Hard to say. So anyway, yeah, if you're interested in that, you can go on eBay, and I think it's still for sale. $35,000.
Yeah. For a quarter, yeah.
So that's, technically, it would be 25 cents less than that.
Right.
Because you are getting a quarter. So there you go. Anyway, people that are interested in those types of things, it's kind of interesting. Sometimes people collect stamps. That used to be a big thing. And then sometimes people are into coins and, of course, sports cards and now political cards too.
That's right.
All kinds of things out there people like to collect. And it's always funny because a lot of times people go to, say, antique shops. And they look at the older things. And it can be kind of neat sometimes. But then I've often heard people that lived through that time period say, well, I just threw all that stuff away.
Right, yeah.
I remember that. I threw that away. And now they're trying to sell it and make money on it. So kind of interesting. A couple other headlines here of the more serious variety. This is interesting. This is from PJ Media. Josh Earnest can't explain key omission about Iran nuclear deal from White House transcript. So they've been in the news lately with the edited tape that was talked about on the Trumpet Daily Radio Show last week, where they edited a large section of tape, and it showed that they have been working with Iran for a lot longer than what they admit. And so this kind of comes up again here. It says Fox News reporter Kevin Cork asked Ernest on May 9th if he could, quote, state categorically that no senior official in this administration has ever lied publicly about any aspect of the Iran nuclear deal. Ernest answered, quote, no, Kevin, quietly. People could hear him, but he said it quietly. So basically, yeah, we can't say we didn't lie. So, okay, if you go and you look at the transcript, it's a little different, though. It says here there was an awkward silence for a moment after he, you know, said that. And then he launched into some talking points in defense of the nuclear agreement. But when you look at the transcript, when he says, no, Kevin, that's not in there. Instead, inaudible is written in there. So you have this question, can you publicly confirm that there's never been any lie about this, you know, publicly? He says no, and they change it to say inaudible. But now when they get caught doing this, they said, oh, it's an accident.
Yeah, this is, I mean, I think Josh Ernest, that's one job I would never want to have, having to defend the government all the time with reporters that are trying to pin you down. But
well, especially when there's been some shady practices, you know.
Right.
If everything was clear and honest, that it would be fine. But yeah, with the shadiness, yeah.
Well, yeah, especially, I mean, there's been over 30 scandals, quote unquote, listed from this administration of different things spanning internationally to just in the United States here. And yeah, it becomes ridiculous when they had to admit like they didn't, that they haven't been truthful. I mean, Ben Rhodes came out and said they lied. I mean, it's out there for everyone to see, but they, it's just ridiculous that these little games keep going on over and over again when the American public, I mean, they deserve better and just admit it and move on. I mean, certain people do need to be held responsible, but if you respond honestly, then just leave it at that. You don't need to try to cover it up. But, I mean, this is the pattern of this administration, and it's not surprising, but it's just one of these small things that happen over and over again that just, I don't know, further deflates the integrity and reputation of the administration.
It seems like several years after an administration leaves, and all of the people that worked for that administration write their book and try to, you know, get a little bit of fame and fortune maybe from it.
Right.
If they do that with this current administration, that would be very interesting to see the video editors and the transcript writers come out and say what happened, you know, what went on behind the scenes, because that's come up a lot here recently where, you know, these lower level employees are erasing tapes and changing transcripts and you know, obviously somebody up the line is telling them to do that. Or if they were doing it on their own, they'd be out of a job very quickly.
Right.
So anyway, it is just kind of an ongoing thing there. And just interesting to look at some of that. Won't go away. Some of those stories just don't go away. Here's another headline. This is from Foreign Policy Magazine. It's really interesting. Hamas is ready for war with Israel. That's the title. It's by a man named David. This is a tough name. Patrick Arrakis. There we go. Hopefully that's pretty close. I should have practiced that one ahead of time. Anyway, he's writing for Foreign Policy Magazine, and he spent time over there in Israel. Spent some time with Hamas and with some of the people. Spent some time on the Gaza Strip. Went around and talked to different people, and that's really what gives you some of the best reporting, because he's there on the ground and he sees what's happening. And he is talking to people. So here's what he had to say. He said that Gazans are fearful that another war looms on the horizon. And he says, I wanted to know if Hamas members felt the same. He said, my fixer, the guy's name is Mohammed, which I guess is a pretty common name. He said, I went to find out with this gentleman, driving through Gaza City and eventually arriving in a narrow street where a man in robes greeted us. The man's name that he met there was Mustafa. He's a senior advisor to a Hamas minister. And it says, Mustafa wasn't coy when I asked him if Hamas is preparing for another war. He said, the military is training. We control all the security in the Strip, and we are hidden. So I am sure Israel has few obvious military targets. If they start a war, thousands of civilians will die. So they're hiding. He thinks, anyway. He says that on the Strip there are Hamas operatives every, I think he said, like 100 yards, just watching what goes on, controlling what happens there, preparing for battle. They talked about how there's been, of course, these knife attacks that have been going on. There was a car bomb. I think it was in April, they said. There's been a few things that are happening. So tensions are escalating over there. They always are. It always is tense. But so he goes on, this author, and he asked this man, Mustafa, he says, Israel as an enemy, do you respect them? Yeah, and it says he smiled. He said, they are a very weak enemy. He said, our Al-Qassam soldiers hear them shouting in fear when they attack. War is about how religious you are. The Al-Qassam soldier knows he is going to heaven, so he fights to the end. The Israeli soldier wants to go back to his girlfriend. So that was an interesting take from him, and interesting take about from the ground there, just showing that Hamas is gearing up. They're obviously going to fight Israel. Not a surprise to anyone, but the when and the how, I guess that's the only thing that's up for debate.
Right. Yeah, I think this is a great piece that really reveals the situation there, like the stark facts of what's in the way of a peace deal, what's in the way of negotiations, why there isn't peace there. I mean, you're dealing with Hamas as a political organization, but mainly the terrorist group as well has the two wings of it. And I mean, their whole justification for existence is to fight Israel. I mean, that's the only reason Hamas exists, is to fight Israel out of the land that Hamas thinks is theirs. So it makes sense that they're always preparing for war, because that's the justification for their existence. That's the whole reason they're living, really, for in their perspective. I mean, they train their kids from when they're the youngest of ages to fight Israel. And I think this also shows the culture that's over there and what Israel faces just in their daily lives. I mean, the PLO is something separate under Mahmoud Abbas. This doesn't have the authority. It's really controlled partly by Hamas too. I mean, so when you're dealing with, you live very close proximity with a culture, it's pretty much a whole country, a small group of people there in the Gaza Strip who are specifically grown, trained, and designed to destroy you. I mean, that's their whole existence.
Yeah.
I mean, you can see why there's so much violence and turmoil over there, is because they can't coexist. But they're trying to, the world's trying to force them to coexist, but it's not going to happen.
Yeah, I'm reading this interesting book about ISIS, and the author, he talks about ISIS and he also talks about Hamas in the same sort of way, even though he says, you know, they're not exactly, you know, doing the same thing. They do have similar objectives. And for Hamas, their objective, as he writes, is to absolutely destroy Israel completely. And he writes in the book, and now this is a man that has been involved with the U.S. military. He's been on the ground over there. He has people that helped him with the book that have seen things firsthand. And he says, look, the stuff that you see ISIS do, the really violent, horrible acts, he said, that's just the tip of the iceberg. They don't show you all of it. And he said, Hamas will do the exact same thing to the Israelis if they have the chance. That's just the way he sees it. And he's a you know, ex-military guy. So, and he said it's funny, too, because he said in the West, Hamas is, they're looked at like some sort of freedom fighter. Like they're being oppressed and they're fighting for their freedom, and that's not the case at all. They're just out there to absolutely wipe them out. And they will always hide all their weaponry, all that stuff near schools, near all that, because they want the children to be destroyed. The Israeli children, but also their own. They don't care. And so they're using them for shields. If they kill them all, you know, with an attack or a strike or something, then they can use the media to their advantage. I mean, they're very systematic in what they're doing, and they're brutal people. And again, that's what this author said in this book that I'm reading. I think the book's called The Rise of ISIS. And that's his take from being on the ground there. So I think when people think of ISIS, they think of this very brutal force, and Hamas somehow has a little more of a like a, an oppressed people fighting for their freedom. That is not the case. It's the same brutality, and they have that same goal of absolutely wiping Israel out, and have said as much.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's a great point, and I think this was illustrated on the Trumpet Daily earlier this week, or I think end of last week. One of the recent programs talking about the different militia groups in Iraq that are fighting ISIS, they perpetrate the exact same crimes, same brutality. And I mean, and that's exactly right. The for them, it's not just aberration. ISIS is not an aberration from how war is fought over there. If you want to go all the way back to the Iran-Iraq war in the 80s, it was absolutely brutal conflict. I mean, the same, maybe it wasn't done in the same manner, but the same kind of gruesome atrocities were committed. I mean, so this is just part of how warfare is fought over there between the different sectarian groups. We see the same thing in Syria. So you can't just pin it on one group. It's something that will happen to any group that has those goals of destroying Israel, the anti-Semitic goal, and but also use terrorism, and they want to create the different Islamic states there in the Middle East. So I think when you talk about Hamas, that's the same system that ISIS uses, other terrorist groups, Iran too. However, Hamas has it fine-tuned because they've been doing it for decades. They know exactly what they're doing. It's a very systematic. They've been very successful. There's even British politicians like Corbyn, the Labour leader, who's talked to Hamas people before.
Yeah.
So it is disturbing in the West, in America and Britain, just how many people admire Hamas or they side with Hamas over Israel. But you need to read a piece like this to get perspective and realize whose side should we really be on? The only democracy in the Middle East who allows Arab, Palestinian, anyone under protection if they'll live obediently in the Jewish state? Or do we side with a terrorist group that just murders others and their own people?
Yeah, and they of course are very busy, have been busy building those tunnels into Israel there, so that for the express purpose they haven't come up near schools, so they can go up there and grab kids.
Right.
I mean, how would any of us feel if somebody's digging a tunnel into our neck of the woods doing that? Of course, you'd fight.
Yeah.
Yeah, crazy. Anyway, it's an upside-down world, as the Trumpet has talked about many, many times. You can there's a good write-up about that at thetrumpet.com. The Key of David program that's coming up today is one of the topics is what is the true gospel? Really a good question there. Gospel is something that people in the Christian world talk a lot about. That's a pretty known term, but yet what does it really mean? What is it all about? The answer is on this Key of David program. Make sure you listen for that. And then, of course, there's a lot of write-ups at thetrumpet.com as well to get into more detail about what the true gospel message is. One of the best books for that is The Incredible Human Potential, written by Herbert W. Armstrong. That's free, and it's at thetrumpet.com, so you can get that there as well. Trumpet Daily Radio Show today, live from Edstone, England, our sister campus over there, with your host, Stephen Fleury. Today, he talked about how President Obama faced a firestorm of criticism after implying that American exceptionalism was not unique, but rather the same pride as any other country. Just a year ago, Donald Trump stated that he did not like the phrase and that it offended other nations. So is American exceptionalism real? The Founding Fathers thought so and did not think America was like any other country. They believed that America was the bastion of freedom, that the eyes of the world looked on America, and that America could be a shining city on a hill. Remembering the sacrifices of our young men on the beaches of Normandy and hundreds of other battlefields around the world helps us realize how integral America was in the struggle for freedom. And it's a really good point. If you take America and America's military force out of World War I and World War II, what kind of a world are we living in today? It's not going to be the same, that's for sure. So this is talked about on the Trumpet Daily Radio Show with Stephen Fleury today. And he also, he ends with a really funny story that President Reagan told. Right. Just a really, really good humor. So make sure you stay with the program all the way to the end because it's a really, really funny story. They have the recording of President Reagan saying it. And make sure you listen for that entire program. It's got a little, that's a little cherry on the top at the end, the funny story. So it made me laugh. He was a very good storyteller as well as a president in a lot of ways. So, and we got his trading card today.
That's right. Yeah.
Live on the air, the Ronald Reagan Influencers Decision 2016 card. 40th president of the United States. It's got his stats on the back.
Yeah, that's a keeper.
That's a keeper. I'm going to put that one in the plastic protector. You got to keep that in mint condition. So make sure you listen for the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. That's coming up here in a bit on KPCG. And if you can't catch it live, that's not a problem. You can check out the archives at kpcg.fm. You can get the programming there as well. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, talk to PCOG.org writer Grant Turgeon about this interesting story from thenewamerican.com. Politician calls Declaration of Independence's words a lie. We'll get the details on that right after this. You're listening to Trumpet Radio Live.